The New York City subway system is packed full of more riders than at any time since World War II. And now researchers at the NYU Rudin Center for Transportation have examined 40 years of subway data to understand why ridership goes up and goes down. WNYC's Stephen Nesson reports.
NYU transit expert Mitchell Moss says 1975 is a good place to begin.
That was the bleakest year in New York's history. We started then because that's when people had given up hope in New York.
It was the height of the fiscal crisis, the year President Gerald Ford told the city, as the Daily News famously put it, drop dead.
I am prepared to veto any bill that has as its purpose a federal bailout of New York City to prevent...
75 may have been bad for the budget, but 1977 was the nadir for ridership. That was the year of the blackout and Son of Sam, and subways were a wreck. With frequent breakdowns and graffiti-covered cars, ridership was down to 917 million a year, from a high of 2 billion in 1946. The Bronx, which was burning, saw the largest decline, a drop of 21 million rides a year over the next decade. Brooklyn dropped by 13.5 million. But Moss says 1977 was also the start of the system's turnaround.
The state of New York realized that without a good MTA, businesses couldn't survive. If businesses couldn't employ people, people weren't going to live here.
The governor brought in a financial whiz named Richard Ravitch to help straighten out the city's finances. And then in 1979, he appointed Ravitch to do the same thing for the MTA.
Almost every day, there was an incident. A train stuck between stations, a breakdown, a fire. People backed up the stairs in subway stations. It was reaching a point where I thought safety was in jeopardy.
That's Ravitch speaking to WNYC in 2016. He put together a $55 billion capital plan to buy new equipment and improve maintenance, but that didn't stop the criminals, who continued to be a major problem. The fear crystallized for the public in 1984 in the person of one Bernie Goetz.
Police are calling the gunman a vigilante. They say that he methodically shot four young men on a crowded 7th Avenue IRT Express just north of Chambers Street in Manhattan. The gunman said he shot them because they were trying to rob him.
Goetz was a white man who shot four young black men over $5. After 9 days on the run, he faced charges of attempted murder and reckless endangerment. Here he is giving a taped statement to police.
Look, I may be the biggest piece of in the world, and you can drag me through the dirt. I don't care. But there's a bigger issue, and that is the government of New York City is a disgrace. The services are disgraceful.
Goetz was eventually found not guilty of the shootings.
Now forget about what happened on that subway to me. That's just one thing. This happens all the time. The subway system itself is a disaster.
6 years later, in 1990, a tourist from Utah named Brian Watkins was stabbed to death on a platform near Times Square. He was the 18th person killed on the subway that year. That was the same year transit police hired a young chief named Bill Bratton to take control.
Like the rest of New York City, transit authority, the subways were in tough shape at that time. A lot of crime.
That's Bratton in a recent interview with the National Law Enforcement Museum.
Every day, 250,000 people not paying the fare. Aggressive panhandlers, 5,000 street people living in the subway.
Bratton brought his Boston Brogue and a new approach to crime. NYU professor Moss says Bratton cracked down hard on misdemeanor offenses like jumping turnstiles and public urination.
Not only broken windows, but it was basically zero tolerance. Up until then, the police department did enforce the law, but they were much more reactive, and here the police were much more proactive.
And by the end of 1994, crime was dropping. The population was rising, and ridership hit 1 billion. Most notable, five stations in Queens along the Jay-Z lines that saw ridership increase by 50%. Williamsburg, Brooklyn saw a 30% increase. Gentrification foretold. And then came another game changer.
This familiar sound to millions of New Yorkers could soon be replaced by this. These new prototype electronic turnstiles are in operation at one West Side IRT station.
By 1997, the token was on its way out and the Metro card was here.
But you would think that the token would hold some kind of sentimental feel for New Yorkers.
maybe as a collector's item, but riders spoke with their feet.
This is On the Line. I'm Brian Lehrer. MetroCard use now accounts for 40% of all fares on the buses and subways. That was quite sudden.
The MetroCard was a revolution for New York.
NYU's Mitchell Moss again. He says there are three reasons the MetroCard contributed to an explosion in ridership.
The pricing became much more kind of invisible. You don't even think you're paying because you already paid once. Secondly, you had the unlimited MetroCard, so you would take it to go shopping, you'd take it to go to the movies. And I think the other part is that, you know, people could give the MetroCard to the other members of the family to use, so it became much more of a commodity you could pass around.
The token itself was finally eliminated in 2003. The NYU study found that the decade from 1995 to 2004 saw the greatest increase in annual ridership ever, up by 40% to 1.4 billion. Moss believes the MetroCard was a major factor.
What it did was it allowed mass transit to be used for much more than just journey to work. It became part of the kind of the social fabric of the city.
He says after looking at four decades of data, the most significant difference in ridership is when people ride.
The real change in New York is that the subways are crowded from 6 in the morning to midnight. It used to be that the peak hour ended at 7. The city's energy is reflected in the use of the subway system.
But it wasn't all roses. This era saw the bursting of the dot-com bubble and 9/11. Ridership in Manhattan declined from 2001 to 2003, especially in the financial district. But as the city recovered, those years became just a bump in the road. The subway system hit 1.7 billion rides in 2015. And there, the modern record stands. Today, the system is working at peak capacity, and ridership has even declined a little. Moss is reluctant to chalk it up to poor service. After looking at the data, he says a modest decline could simply be because they're shutting down more stations for maintenance on weekends.
This is a Brooklyn-bound Q train via the 2nd Avenue line.
But the MTA did open four new stations in the last couple years, three of them on the 2nd Avenue line.
Let's open up the subway!
Now, they're planning to replace the MetroCard, maybe with a smartphone app or something akin to an EasyPass that doesn't require a swipe at all. As history has shown, ridership responds to increases in quality of service and declines when the system stands still. Stephen Nesson, WNYC News.